Thank you for listening to our midweek service from Christian Ministry Church. We're praying that this message blesses, encourages, and equips you to build the kingdom of God. And now a message from Pastor Tim Brooks.
Well, we want to welcome all of those joining us on the many different social media outlets that we have. It's a big encouragement to us to receive emails from literally all over, everywhere, the people being taught, ministered to, blessed, encouraged by the word that is going forth out of this ministry. For those of us who are just joining us, we're in a series on the God kind of life, and we're just looking through scripture to see what it teaches us about the God kind of life. We want to live the God kind of life. Okay, what does that look like? So we're going through scripture to see what that looks like. Last week, Josh taught three ways to live out of 1 John chapter 3, and he told us the three points. We live in victory over sin. We show our righteousness by loving other believers. And then we live in a confidence before God. All of that is out of obedience to Him. If I thought I could reteach that lesson last week better than Josh did, I'd probably do that. But boy, Josh just did a fantastic job last week teaching. So I'm not going to go back over what he did. I'm just going to move right on here. You can turn to 1 John chapter 4 and follow in your scripture. You can follow me as I bring out the points that teach us about the God kind of life as we look at chapter 4. What's the God kind of life look like? Now, it's very interesting, especially in this day and time, that God's word says, dear friends, do not believe everyone. Whoa. Well, God is not woke. We find that out real quick. Don't believe everyone. Now, we're going to have to know what the scripture says, because we're being told a lot that the scripture says that it don't say that at all. He starts out, don't believe everybody. There is a world full of people telling things that's not the truth. False prophets. And you're going to have to know that. There's a world full of false prophets. Even, you know, in the news, and this has been really hard for me the last few years, but we grew up trusting the news. News reporters were solid, well-respected people, and they reported the events of the day in a very professional, very prepared manner, and we grew up every night watching the news to update ourselves. What's going on here? Well-respected people. And it's not like that at all, not at all anymore. It's all about money. It's all about the numbers of viewers that are watching. And it's all about entertainment. Because as you entertain people, then you get them watching. And the more they watch, then the more numbers in commercial revenues that you have. And it's shocking. News reporters have just become tabloid writers. That's building a performance and a name for their show. And so they are somebody. Wait, you're a tabloid writer entertaining people. You got the liberal news entertaining the liberals. Well, then we got the conservative news that are entertaining these people. And so we're making sure that we're entertaining everybody. And so we have to have both sides, because this group ain't going to watch that. This group isn't going to watch that. Here's what we're going to tune into. But they're entertainers. And it's exactly like watching wrestling. I've turned on, if you hadn't watched wrestling lately, you ought to just watch a little bit of it. It's just amusing now. And so the conservatives have their wrestler. And boy, they're going, yeah, and boy, he, man, and the conservatives, boy, they watch their wrestler and they support him. And then the liberals, they have their wrestler that they cheer for. And the false prophets are out here after money, after numbers, and after ratings. It's tabloid sensationalism. As a believer, what do we do with this? As a believer, what do we do with the times that we're in? Verse 1. Test them. Test them. That's what you do. Just watch. Is there anything being done about what they're saying? is there any, okay, if the, that story is true, then how come in a few months that person's not in jail? What? Okay, so evidently I was lied to. See, you got to test this. See the outcomes. You got to know truth, and you got to understand emotional entertainment. And it's crazy. I watched it because I just wanted to see. I hadn't watched championship wrestling since I was little, watching it in black and white. But, boy, you got to watch this. It's classic. You know, this guy climbs up on the ropes, and he's way up high, and he comes, 300-pound guy, comes down, boom, and pop, boy, and he just, I mean, a 300-pound guy with his elbow hitting you in the neck. Clearly, your neck's broken. You're dead. See, Flavio. So he runs against the ropes, and here he comes running. And this dead man jumps up. Whoom! Knocks him out. Knocks him out of the ring. Whoa! That was the fastest miracle I ever saw. Okay, hold on. After watching this, I think I'm being lied to. Evidently, that chair didn't hit him in the head like it portrayed that. Okay, after watching this, I'm cheering for my guy. This is all a lie. I'm being lied to right here. This is a stage show for conservatives and for liberals, and we're cheering these people on. No one got knocked out. No one really did anything, and the two teams just got in their cars and drove home, and they worked on what they were going to do at the next show. We've got to be, and the Bible's full of this, you have to be fruit inspectors. We got to be fruit inspectors. That's what we have to do. A God kind of lie. There's just a bunch of lie. And you're going to have to be a fruit inspector, whether it's with CNN or Fox News, or whether it's with the church, whether it's with preachers. The ministries that I feed on. Oh, Tim, did you hear this guy? Did you hear this podcast? Boy, have you heard this sermon? Have you heard? Tim, let me just tell you. The ministries that I listen to, first question, how long have they been married? What does their wife think about them? Are they well-respected by the non-Christians in the community? Are they well-respected by outsiders, is what Titus says. Are they well-respected? Do they pay their bills? Are they honorable? What do their neighbors say about them? Do they have staying power? Or they just flit here a while and flit over there a while and flit around. See, before I feed myself, I'm going to ask, what will what they teach produce in me? It's fruit inspector. What will, now I'm going to listen to this. I'm going to start following this person and I'm going to listen to it. You got to know that as you're feeding, whatever you eat is going to have an effect in your body. What will this produce in my body? Whatever you feed yourself is going to have an effect in your mind, in your thinking. So is this going to produce the lifestyle that I want? Before I feed myself, what will what they teach produce in me? See, the Bible says here in verse 1, you got to test them. You got to know that there are many false reporters. There's many false evangelists. There's many false preachers. And when I hear the show open with number one newscast, the number one news reporter, click, I'm out. Because if they're the number one, then that's a priority for them over telling me the truth, over communicating. It's maintaining a number one show status. So I don't want to be the number one preacher. I want to teach the word. See, number one preacher. Well, I don't want to be the number one preacher. I want to teach the word. In truth, what Jesus said, what he didn't say, that's what I got to be known for, not be a false prophet. And we're going to have to live aware of this because we got too many Christians that are too gullible. And that's just not where we have to be. Well, I want to be like Jesus. No, you're gullible. Read verse 1. False prophets. People are lying to you. Test them. Test them and walk wise. Ask yourself about what you're hearing. Is life working for them? Is what they say line up with the word? What do they acknowledge about Jesus? Is what they say that Jesus said, is it what he really said? See, the test starts And you read, you can follow along with me. The test starts with, does this person acknowledge? Okay, now I want you to see this. It doesn't say acknowledge Jesus. Verse 3, acknowledge the truth about Jesus. Y'all see that? Does it acknowledge that we're going to acknowledge the truth about Jesus? Wow. I just can't help but touch on this right here, but just kind of briefly listen, because I've been working for 3 weeks on a sermon, and I'm going to be preaching here. It's going to take me 3 or 4 more weeks to put this together, but I'm going to teach a whole Sunday morning sermon on this right here. This TV ad that I see all the time, and about all I watch is basketball. Are y'all seeing Jesus gets us? Jesus gets us. First of all, how many are thrilled that Jesus is on a TV commercial? Wow! Are you kidding me? Have you seen the latest one? I just saw it this last week. Jesus is washing feet. Jesus washing feet on this TV commercial. And then we got a kid in school washing somebody's feet. And then we got a policeman washing somebody. We got men out on a construction work and they're washing feet. My mouth is open. And then the commercial, after we see a number of different people fit washing, it says, Jesus did not teach hate, he taught love. Jesus said, love your neighbor. And has he washing feet? Are y'all seeing this? Love your neighbor. And then it starts scrolling pictures of my neighbor portraying clearly lifestyles that God says is sin, an abomination, and a wickedness to him. Wow, we've got a TV commercial teaching the world about Jesus, and that's not all he said. I'm just kind of remembering one time when he went into the temple and started turning over the money tables and running the people out. We're going to turn my father's house into a den of thieves and out and turn. Okay, if we're going to teach Jesus, then let's teach what, well, Jesus said. Let me tell you what Jesus said. And I'm amazed. We are in the process of reshaping America's thinking about Jesus. Now, the upside of this is they know Jesus is a stumbling block. Jesus is an obstacle to the woke agenda. The Word of God is a wall for the woke agenda. So let me rewrite Christianity. Let me repaint Jesus. Wow. Washing feet. I want to be like Jesus. So I'm going to love my neighbor. And then here's, it's amazing. Okay, I got to move on. I'm preaching a whole sermon on this. I'm getting it ready. I've got so much stuff to talk about. It's going to be the best Sunday you've been to in a long time. You'll have to come every Sunday for the next month or so because you don't know when I'm going to do it. It won't be this week. It's Palm Sunday. Don't miss Palm Sunday. And it won't be next week because it's Easter and I'm preaching both of those. And it's not on Jesus Ain't Woke. I'm going to be teaching about Easter. I'm going to be teaching about Palm Sunday. But you can know the title pretty soon is Jesus Ain't Woke. Verse, why do I do that? Stay with the text. Let me just tell y'all something about, Tim, do you teach off notes or do you teach off? If I didn't teach off of notes, you would have no clue of what I say. I'm so full of this and I'm just up here. I'll talk about this and I'm going to talk about that. My notes don't give me something to say. They tell me the bazillion things not to say. That's all my notes do, because I could just take off and I'm over here. Boy, that was good. Well, what did I say? I don't have a clue. When we finish here, I want you to know exactly what I taught on. Back to my notes, as I should have never departed. Verse 5, those people belong to this world, speak from the world's viewpoint, and the world listens to them. Even about Jesus. We've got unbiblical, ungodly teaching us about Jesus, and the world is listening to them. We have to live the God kind of life. We're going to have to know if someone has the spirit of truth or the spirit of deception. See, a lie has got to have some element of truth in it. And you got to always know that, well, tell me it was true what they were saying. A lie has to have an element of truth in it or it never gets off the ground. So we've got to picture Jesus washing feet to then move us in to a totally anti-godly agenda. A lie has got to have a little of Jesus. Yes, in fact, Jesus taught to love our neighbor. My two favorite scriptures in the Bible. Y'all hear me talk about this. Judas went out and hung himself. The other verse is, go ye therefore and do likewise. It's my two favorite scriptures. Okay, does the Bible say that? The Bible absolutely says. Judas went out and hung himself. The Bible says, go and do likewise. Okay, you're going to have to know what Jesus said. See, you're going to have to know what the Bible, you're going to have to know the nature and character of God, or you'll get a little truth and the whole thing is a lie. We've got to put God's word all together, and we have to watch out for false prophets, those people that are just perpetuating a lie for entertainment, to build large audiences, to build big crowds. 1 John teaches us, don't be overwhelmed by the world. Don't be overwhelmed by this culture. We have already won a great victory because the Spirit lives in me. See, the Spirit lives in me. Oh, I can't wait to teach these next two Sunday mornings about what happened in Palm Sunday, what happened in Easter, and the transformation from the old covenant to the new covenant. And God no longer is in the Holy of Holies in the temple. He now lives inside us. There was a move from the old covenant to the new covenant. And you've got to know that the Spirit, see what he says here in chapter 4, the Spirit lives in me. The God kind of life is always lived. Every moment of your day, you live your life from a position of victory. Because greater is he that's in me. Now, do you know that or do you know that? See, greater is he that's in me, help me out, than he that is in the world. See, this is a position that we live in. We're not about to go under. This is not about to take me out. This is not about more than I can bear. This is not going to be the thing that undoes me. This is not going to be me going down the drain. No, I am victorious. Greater is he that's in me. And so I never lose. I always win. Even if I lose, God turns that around and turns it for my good, and I benefit from the loss, so it really wasn't a loss, it was a win. See, you live your life from a position of victory because greater is he that's in me. Whatever you face this week, you face it knowing greater is he that's in me. Greater is he that's in me. Greater is he that's in me. See, anything that I face, I live day after day from that position, I win. I'm the winner in this. I come out on top. See, here's what you need to know. Whatever happens, I will be the head. I won't be the tail. See, whatever happens, you can know I'm going to be above. I'm not going to be, well, under the circumstances, I'm doing pretty good. I'm not ever going to be under the circumstances. Why? Because greater is he that's in me, puts me in a position of victory. Now, these people belong to the world, speak from the world's viewpoint. The huge mistake we make is expecting the ungodly to think, to act, to respond in a godly manner. And I hear it all, Tim, I can't believe this happened. Why can't you believe that happened? I can't believe she said that. Why can't you believe she said that? I can't believe they treated me this way. Why can't you believe they treat you, your mistake was not in what happened. Your mistake in was believing that ungodly was going to act godly. See, if you just know that up front, see, you live aware. And that's, I can't wait to preach Jesus Ain't Woke. You got to know there are sheep and there are wolves that are disguised in sheep's clothing, and the God kind of life is being able to know the difference. Oh, Pastor, oh, our church, I just love you. You're a wolf. See, you're going to have to be able to discern between the false and the true. You can't be gullible and be godlike. There are good figs and there are bad figs. That's not what this culture teaches. Everybody is a good fig. Everybody does right in their own eyes. Not everybody. See, there is wheat and there are tares. And you're going to have to know the difference. And we will constantly be testing spirits. See what it says there? We will constantly be testing spirits. I live all day long testing spirits. That's what you do. I'm testing spirits. John goes right back into the teaching on love and is a repeat of what we saw last week in chapter 3. He goes right back in teaching on love. Because God so loved us, we're to love each other. God lives in us. Now, we have been just over 2,000 years of life in the new covenant. We've been under the new covenant that God has made with us for just over 2,000 years. But there are still way too many Christians that are living life like they're under the old covenant. And we've not made that transformation that we're going to have to understand. Wait, that's the Easter Sunday. I'm staying with my notes because I can't wait to preach what I'm going to preach on Easter. See, we're going to have to live with this transformation that took place. Now, how I know folks are still living under the old covenant is you just listen to them pray. Listen to people pray, and they're praying like God is way out there somewhere, and they're begging him to notice what they're going through, to see what they're going through, and then for him to, I know you're busy, I know you're out there, and then with all that we're doing, try to get God to come down here where we are. Church, that is life under the old covenant. God doesn't live out. Where does God live? When you ask Jesus, when you repent of your sins, when you ask Jesus to come into your heart, where does he live? In me. He's in me. Now, he'll never leave you or forsake you. He's never going to leave you or forsake you. God lives. I'm not in the middle of a mess and a panic goes off. God, where? Oh, God. God walked into this mess with me. God is right here with me. He's fully aware of what's going on. And right now, I tune in. I connect with the Spirit that is within me right now. I'm not trying to find God. He already found me. I'm not trying to get God to move in here. He's already moved in here. And the God kind of life is acting like, is living like, he's on the inside of you, ever present in times of trouble, ever present. Chapter 4 spends the last half of the chapter talking about love. And if we don't love, then we don't know God because God is love. Now, you got to understand, God doesn't love, God is love. See, that's his nature, and his love is out of who he is. And the mark of God's love is him sending his son so that we might have eternal life. This is being explained to us right here. Now, there's a lot in here for us to see. There's just so much of today's thinking about love. And it's hard for us to read this and understand it because we are so far from the understanding of love. We're just so far from the understanding. So much of today is 100% lust. It's not love. See, lust is I want my needs. It's my happiness. It's my satisfaction. We don't love our job. We lust the job. It's what it can do for me. See, it's what can this do for me? Why did we leave the church? It wasn't meeting my needs. Where was that supposed to happen to begin with? What about you meeting the needs of the church? See, love is giving where lust is all about receiving. And we just have a hard time really grasping God is love, because when we read that word love, our definition goes to lust. Most all breakups of those that were once in love, why? What happened here? She doesn't meet my needs. I'm leaving because of what he did to me. I'm not happy with her any longer. See, all breakups are over what the other is doing to me or has not done for me. That, church, that's not love. That is 100% based on lust. See, this is lust, not love. You fell out of lust with them, but you didn't fall out of love. You fell out of lust. God so loved the world. See, he didn't lust the world. If we understood the love of God, then we wouldn't always be afraid that he doesn't love us. We wouldn't always be afraid that he's not with me. See, because we're used to the word love kind of a coming and going thing. It just moves with the emotional whim. And so we, oh God, is he there? God, are you with me? God, well, I messed up last week, so God may not be with me. God's left me. See, we don't understand the love. What love is, love is a sacrificial giving out of a choice that was made. And love manifests itself by meeting another's needs. Think about the parents of a newborn. Just the parents of a one-day-old. Think about the feeling that they have. There's not one thing that that infant does for them. Not one. Just cries. Not one thing that infant does. That's love. See, parents loved that child. Doesn't have nothing. Well, he just kept me up all night, so I'm leaving him. See, the love is different than lust. We don't fall in love. We choose to give ourselves to another. And that's what John is talking about here. Lust is falling into and out of. A good-looking girl in a very tight pair of blue jeans, and you fall in lust that quick. Depending upon how hard you fell in lust, then depends if you start pursuing her, you get her name, you get her phone number, you date her for a while, and the lust just gets heavier. So then you marry for a while. But then after a little while, sooner or later, you get mad. Don't meet my needs. And so we fall out of lust. God is not lust. God is love. And he chose to love you and I. And until we understand lust and love, we'll never understand the fullness of God, because God is love. He's not lust. And we just can't get the definitions of those two words straight in our head. Life in the new covenant. God is not out there somewhere. And that's a convenient thing for us, that God is out there somewhere, because we can live all week long doing what our carnal, sinful nature wants to do. Well, I was born this way. I get it. So you just live like Romans talks all about how you were born. You were born with that sin nature. And so you can do that Monday all the way through midnight, Saturday night. Then you come to church, and for an hour and a half, you try to find him and you try to connect with him so that we can feel good about ourselves, because we don't feel good about ourselves. So I've got to come to church. Whew. All right, boy, I praised and we forget. Yet God inhabits the praise of his people. I get all that. But you got to know he don't care near as much about your praise as he does about your obedience. And I'm a big giver. I give that church. Man, I've done their praising. God cares a lot more about your obedience. And we forget that passage of Scripture, because we can think we can regain through our praise what we lost through disobedience, and you can't praise that hard enough. You just can't. Then we walk out the door and unplug, feel good about myself because I praised him, I cried. I came to the altar. I gave money. I drank me some juice. Boy, I feel good about myself. And now, here we go. Gratifying the flesh, doing whatever our sinful nature wants to do. Whatever words come to my mind come right out my mouth. I talk to people, treat people, act like, entertain like, and I get myself through midnight Saturday night, and now I got to do it again. Church, the new covenant doesn't work like that. He's in you, and he's everywhere you are. He's everywhere you are, and you don't walk away from him. And you don't bring your lamb and come back and have the priest pray for you. And then you walk back away from him. He is in you. He abides in you. We live in God. Our life is lived in his presence. Everywhere you go, everything you do. And and I liked what Josh said the other day. We worship while we're nailing shingles on somebody's house. That's worship. Whenever we're picking trees up out of somebody's yard, that's a form of worship. We're serving other people. As you're cooking for your family, that's worship. As you're vacuuming the floor and cleaning your home, that's giving him glory. That's worship God. See, we've got to understand we live and move and have our being in him, not just with the music going on. Not just whenever we're here. Are you getting this? Here comes the same word again. Josh taught about this last week. I'm not going to reteach it. But here it comes, the very same word in chapter 4 that we saw in chapter 3, the word confidence. The word confidence. We will not be afraid on the day of judgment. We face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. That word confidence. David Hilton comes here and speaks a lot. I went down and spent a couple of days with him last week. He had a whole load of young bulls that a man brought there for him to train in the bucking bull business. And this one bull came off of the trailer, and we were there, and all of them were running down to shoot. This one bull turned around and just stared. And he took a step and took a step. You know, David, he goes, that bull's confident. Well, he's confident. You want to watch out for those that are confident. And then I come right across this scripture. That's the way I want to live. Devil, you don't want none of me. See, I want to walk in it. All those other bulls running for their life. Well, you're climbing up on the fence. See, I want the devil to see me coming on and climbing that fence. David Hilton says, that's confident right there. He's confident. Watch that bull. He's confident. See, that's what I want the devil telling his demons. Watch that Tim. He's confident. You better watch him now. He's confident. He'll come back and get you. See, this is the God kind of life. Not afraid. Not afraid of judgment day. Not afraid of judgment. Just a side note. There is a judgment day. See, you need to see that. There is a judgment day. Well, you know, the church is back turn of the century, back 100 years ago. All the sermons were, you know, hell, fire, and brimstone. Did anybody here ever grow up 100 years ago in a church, had that finger, boy, and I'm telling you, you're going to go to hell. Boy, the preacher's voice, you could just feel the flames. I mean, you're going to burn in hell. And every sermon was you going to burn in hell. Okay. You know, let's hit on the love side of God. Well, we swung over here in the ditch, and I'm thinking, when's the last time I told everybody in here about Judgment Day? You're going to stand before God in judgment day, and you have a very good possibility of burning in hell for all eternity. See, well, that's tough. It's true. It's tough, but it's true. See, so we're not afraid on judgment day. Well, what I get out of that is there is a judgment day. Now, thank you, Lord. I'm not afraid. Thank you, Lord. Jesus lives on the inside of me. I've been washed clean. I've been forgiven. And so I live with confidence knowing that there is a judgment day and you're going to stand and give an account. As we're learning to live the God kind of life, just some quick takeaways from this lesson. Number one, don't believe everything you hear. The God kind of life is not gullible. Come on. Test. If that was true, then why wasn't something done about it? Okay, if that was really true, then why didn't it work out like you said? If that's true, see, test, test. Number two, live from a position of victory. You're not about to go under. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And that's where we live. We live under the new covenant. God's not out here somewhere. He's in here. Number three, love is not lust. Love is what you choose to do for another. Lust is what you want another to do for you. Number four, the God kind of life is confident. We're not worried on judgment day. The God kind of life. Y'all stand. Lord, tonight we're rolling up our sleeves and we're pursuing your kind of life. We're pursuing the life that you have for us to live. This church will be known as a church where those people live your kind of life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Christian Ministries Church. If this message impacted you and you'd like to sow into our ministry, you can give at cmchurch.com. If you'd like to listen to more of our messages, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Just search for Christian Ministries. God bless.